Looking for a fun way to win 25 times your money this football and basketball season? Test your skills on Prize Picks, the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projection for a wide variety of stats, and place your entry. It's as easy as that. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $250 with just a few taps. Easy gameplay, quick withdrawals, and injury insurance on your picks are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Ready to test your skills? Join the Prize Picks community of more than 7 million players who have already signed up. Right now, Prize Picks will match your first deposit up to $100. Just visit prizepicks.com/play100 and use code play100. That's code play100 at prizepicks.com/play100 for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy.
If you're a last-minute gift shopper, then Instacart is your holiday rescue app this season. No more tracking packages, no more trips to the post office, and no more Christmas gifts arriving in February. Instead, you can just download Instacart to order gifts like beauty, tech, and gourmet goods from local stores and get them delivered in as fast as 1 hour. Plus, right now, you'll get free delivery on your first three orders. This offer is valid for a limited time. $10 minimum per order. Additional terms apply. Must be 21 plus to purchase alcohol where available.
It is SNY.TV's The Juice on the Cuse podcast, covering Syracuse basketball, lacrosse, and football.
Today on The Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, we'll be talking about Syracuse football on the recruiting trail and Syracuse basketball on the warpath. I'm Wes Chang, and I'll be joined later by Andrew Cowie, and our guest today is Rivals.com, Scott Brown. Scott, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Hey, I appreciate you asking me to be on.
And Scott, we'll get you started on this one. Three-star defensive end Joshua Black announcing his decommitment from Illinois over the weekend. He's taking his official visit to Syracuse this weekend. Did one have anything to do with the other?
Things really got rolling with this one. The Illini coaching staff kind of had a shakeup there. His main recruiter, Tim Banks, was a defensive coordinator, and he took a job with Penn State. And with that, you know, the role of Josh Black was really up in the air. The staff at Illinois really saw him as more of a hybrid defensive lineman, outside linebacker, and the new coach staff coming in really told him that, you know, the style of their defense was going to change. So with that, and then the aggressive pursuit of Syracuse, and he really had a good relationship with Sean Lewis coming into this whole thing from his time at Bowling Green. The two probably definitely did contribute to one another. And with Joshua coming onto campus this weekend, I really think this is Syracuse's recruit to lose.
Scott, let's talk about another guy who's going to be on the Syracuse campus this weekend, three-star running back Joel Shaw down to Syracuse, Pitt, and Western Michigan. He is from Pittsburgh, so how likely is it that Syracuse can pluck a guy from Pitt's backyard?
Yeah, Shaw really came out of the scene when Mike Hart was named the running back coach at Syracuse. He was a Western Michigan guy. And he actually just tweeted out a picture of himself with Mike Hart and co-offensive coordinator Sean Lewis at an in-home visit last night. He does have the visit set up for this weekend. And from what sources have told me, the visit went very well. The coaches impressed him. They feel comfortable and confident that they can bring him to Syracuse, especially since that relationship is there with Coach Hart and Shaw. Before the visit, however, the feeling out there in the recruiting world kind of a little bit is that Pitt is the slight favorite right now. Shaw actually held off committing to Pittsburgh earlier in the recruiting process because the old coaching staff with Chris there actually preferred him as a linebacker. But now Narduzzi is in there, and he's actually met with him and seen him at the running back and feels confident that he could come to Pitt and contribute as a running back. Now, Pittsburgh does have talented running backs on the roster right now, and two running backs already committed to this class, but I've been told that they would accept him if he were to commit. So, you know, that could be a huge problem for Syracuse. Pittsburgh does have that final visit looming too on the 29th, so they'll get the last crack at him. If I were to guess right now, I'd say Pitt does have that slight edge over Syracuse for Shaw.
Scott, let's talk about this past weekend now. Devon Cooper and Cedric Bird took officials to Syracuse over the weekend, and Sean Riley, their teammate, committed to Syracuse over the weekend. These are three California guys. Where do things stand with them?
Yeah, those California guys, that's pretty cool because that shows kind of Coach Baylor's reach that he has all over the nation to be able to recruit all over, you know, the United States. And with those two guys, going into the weekend, everybody kind of knew of Sean Riley. He was kind of more the likely candidate to recruit there, and that's exactly what happened. With Cooper and Bird, I've been told that these three guys that came in there, they have a real tight relationship with one another, and, you know, they're a real tight community. And Cooper left very impressed. He left thinking very highly of Syracuse. He still is the Arizona commit. He doesn't want to really pull that trigger right now. He's kind of waiting to see what happens with Bird. I've kind of been told by a source that if Syracuse were to offer Cedric Bird, he would definitely commit right then and there. You know, he holds Syracuse very highly. If Cedric Bird with Riley already committed, I think Devon Cooper would follow suit and commit as well. That same source also told me that Bird, this is pretty fascinating, he's actually faster than Cooper, bigger than Sean Riley, and the better returner of both of them. So he may be a little under-recruited from that standpoint. The only thing that I can imagine why the staff right now is really hesitating is they want to see what's going to develop with Desmond Fitzpatrick, a four-star wide receiver. He's coming onto campus. Three-star Jerron Rowland, he'll be on campus this weekend as well. And then they have a couple other options out there, like a Malik Harrison out of Ohio that the staff is really high on. I think they kind of want to wait and see what happens with those guys before they offer Bird and ultimately take that chance of getting all three of those California guys.
Scott, we'll get you out of here on this one. We're only 3 weeks away from NLI Day, so what are some of the biggest recruiting battles that Syracuse will have to fight in the next few weeks?
Yeah, I mentioned about, you know, Joel Shaw in Pittsburgh. I think that's going to kind of come right down to signing day, so keep an eye on that. I think there are really three others that are worth mentioning that could really define this first recruiting class for Coach Babers. The first one, big four-star offensive lineman, Stuart Reese from Florida, that was recently on campus this past weekend. He met with Syracuse today, actually, in-home visit with the coaches. And I think Syracuse will be right in there with the end with Reese. I know that they're really kind of making him a priority moving forward. He does have a visit this weekend with Mississippi State, but the feedback I'm getting right now is that Syracuse is in the lead for his services. He left very, very impressed with Syracuse and what they had to offer. The only thing is Florida State. He was once considered a Florida State lean. He does have that visit on the 29th. Florida State just kind of told him, we got to wait and see. We're evaluating other players, kind of hold off. If FSU were to move on, I think Syracuse is the landing spot for him. Another one, a second one, is the four-star Desmond Fitzpatrick that I mentioned a little bit earlier. He's another one that Syracuse will be fighting for till the end. He has a great relationship with Coach Mike Hart. He wants to announce on February 1st, so expect him to take all of his visits first. He was committed to Louisville at one point. He still has a high interest with them. But right now, Syracuse is really battling Nebraska, Louisville for that number one spot. And Indiana is kind of looming right there. This will definitely come down to the visit and that comfort level he has with the coaches in the program. And then finally, I think Malik Harrison, a three-star athlete, all around, do everything. He's out of Ohio. He was considered an Ohio State lean at one point and actually had an official visit with them this past weekend. But he left that visit without committing to the Buckeyes. He has thought to be able to play maybe a wide receiver, a linebacker, even a defensive end or a defensive back at the next level. That just kind of says his athleticism that he has. Syracuse, I've been told, likes him at wide receiver, but depending on where he develops over the next couple of years, he could turn into a defensive backman or another role in that defense. Should Ohio State pass on Harrison, Syracuse would have to contend still with like a Michigan State or Wisconsin. All those are pretty high up there. The secret weapon that Syracuse might have, however, in all of this with Malik Harrison is actually 2016 basketball commit Matthew Moyer. He's from Ohio. He's actually good friends with Harrison. He's played AAU basketball with him. And Moyer's told me that he is doing his best job putting on that recruiting hat and trying to get Harrison to Syracuse. But in the words of Moyer, you know, when Urban Meyer's calling you from your hometown Buckeyes, it's really hard to ignore that phone call. So we'll see how that one goes.
Scott, awesome stuff. Thanks so much for coming on. Again, Scott Brown from Rivals.com and CuseConfidential.com. Make sure to subscribe to Rivals.com, especially now that we're in the home stretch of the 2016 recruiting cycle. Scott, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much, Wes. I appreciate the opportunity.
Great stuff from our friend Scott. And I'm now joined over the phone by the Juice Online senior college basketball analyst and 2003 national champion, Andrew Cowie. Andrew, how are you today?
I'm doing well now.
Andrew, I think I know why, because Syracuse, with a season-changing 64-62 win over number 20 Duke on Monday night at Cameron Indoor Stadium, Syracuse needed a signature win in conference play to be considered for the NCAA tournament, and I think they got it. How big of a win was it?
You know, it's definitely a massive win. Anytime you beat Duke at Duke, you know, obviously they're struggling of late, but a massive win for the resume, and then also a massive win for confidence. You know, we were there's a couple games that slid away at the end. You think of Miami that we had possibly in the last 4 minutes, and when those type of things keep happening, you lose your confidence, and you're like, it's tough to close games out. And this was having that and one by Tyler, and those little things were huge those last 4 minutes to get a closeout win that we definitely needed.
And Andrew, Tyler Roberson, 14 points, 20 rebounds, 12 on the offensive end, setting a record at Cameron Indoor Stadium for opponents. What's gotten into him?
You know, I think without a doubt it's a great game for him, great energy and effort. But it also, I think, the matchup worked in his favor. Duke, missing Jefferson was obviously big. If you look at it, Plumlee for Duke had a career high in rebounds as well. So just the style of game, just a lot of three-pointers going up, a lot of missed shots. It wasn't great shooting from a Duke perspective. So I think those things really helped in the favor, but obviously you can't take away. You saw the effort, the just tenacity going after boards, getting it. And then I think, we can't forget is that when he did the boards, a lot of times he was smart enough to kick it out for a three. And I think those little details sometimes we forget about it. But those are huge threes to give wide open shots for Malachi and for the rest of the three-point shooters.
You know, Andrew, Boeheim's been back four games now, and I think there's a big, big difference in the way Syracuse has played in these four games. What did you think of the job Hopkins did in his nine games, and is this change in the last four games really all attributable to Boeheim returning?
You know, I don't think so. I think it's kind of unfair to judge Coach Hop on those nine games. Part of it, tough road games against Miami, against Pittsburgh, tough matchups. We don't do so well against those style teams. And also, you just got to remember, like, the players are used to this one voice, this Boeheim voice, all through preseason, all through start of practice and everything. And so then you switch it up. It's just Coach Hop is obviously going to have a little bit of a different style than Boeheim. And then the players know Boeheim's coming back in nine games. So it's just a weird dynamic. And I think, I remember watching watching the Duke game and at halftime, Seth Greenberg, talking about the difference with Boeheim and Hopkins. And okay, yes, Boeheim, obviously a Hall of Famer, he probably makes a little bit of difference. But, I just don't think it's fair to judge Coach Hop on those nine games, because it's just a weird dynamic the way, he came in, through, first quarter of the season.
Andrew, I know we've discussed this before, but now we have a pretty good sample size of what to expect from this team. So how do you see the rest of the season playing out?
Well, I think when we first, our first podcast, the start of the season, you asked about Syracuse, what I thought. I said, I think this is going to be a classic team where you're going to have your really highs and your really lows. So as much as I think all Syracuse fans are on a high right now with the big win at Duke, we got to be worried, because right around the corner you could have a bad shooting night, and we could go right down to a low again. So it's going to be a game by game. We just got to keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully that this is a little bit of a confidence booster for the team, and we can steal another game here or there.
Andrew, we're right at the end of our show. Your closing thoughts.
My closing thoughts is kind of just to take on the last one, is that I think we just need to find one more signature win. It might be the next game against Virginia. Maybe it's a Miami game. Maybe it's Florida State. We just need one of those wins where you look at the schedule and say, I don't know if we can win that game, and we can steal it. I think that kind of gives us that comfortability of, okay, we're going to be in the tournament. And once you're in the NCAA, to me it's all about matchups and anything can happen.
Andrew, my closing thoughts are on the Syracuse women's basketball team winning their third straight game, 91-65 over Wake Forest over the weekend. They're 14-4 fighting for an NCAA playoff spot, just like the men are, and I just hope they can keep it going. 10-1 in Syracuse this season. That's it for us. For Andrew Cowie, this is Wes Chang reminding you that when a frog's car breaks down, it gets towed away. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast on SNY.TV, and we'll see you next time.
This has been the Juice on the Cuse podcast, part of the SNY.TV podcast network.